So today I'm hoping my voice holds out.
I hope it will too.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but maybe that's a better sound. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you haven't been feeling very well for the last little bit. And today the weather had my lungs shut down, so I've really been puffing on my peace pipe.
And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the problem. I'll get over it soon enough, though.
You better.
Of course, this is Justin and Tyler from the Classic Vinyl Podcast Studio, also known as my basement.
Yes, we are, and yes, it is.
And today we're going to do Cream, and we're going to do one of their hit songs, White Room. Let me give you a little rundown on the band Cream, if you're not aware of them. They're an English rock band formed in 1966. They consist of Jack Bruce on bass guitar and vocals, Eric Clapton on guitar and vocals, and Ginger Baker on drums and vocals. Now, Cream's kind of interesting because they're regarded as the first basic supergroup that existed. And really, a supergroup is a group made up of members from previously successful bands. A lot of times well-known members, but in this case, not all of them were super well-known at the time. But you had Eric Clapton had been in the Yardbirds, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Ginger Baker had been in the Graham Bond organization. Jack Bruce had been in the Graham Bond organization as well, and also in John Mayall and the Blues Breakers briefly. He was in Powerhouse with Steve Winwood and Paul Jones. And, you know, the funny thing about this band forming is Ginger Baker, Jack Bruce, when they were in the Bond group together, they fought a lot, and as they did in Cream as well. But it's funny, they decided to get together and form this band. But anybody that really loves the music of Cream, I guess it's good they did, even though it was short-lived. So the band named themselves Cream pretty simply because they thought they were the cream of the crop, as far as musicians were concerned. So I guess a fitting name for what their thoughts on themselves were. Now, the band was only together for 3 years, but they released four albums in that time: Fresh Cream, Disraeli Gears, which we've actually reviewed on this podcast before, Wheels of Fire, and Goodbye. They also released a total of 10 singles in those 3 years. Since breaking up, they have released four live albums and 10 compilation albums, which isn't as many as you normally see. I mean, we've seen bands that have released three studio albums together and have 50 compilation albums. So for them to only have 10, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, it's a little odd because it seems like this is a band that I could get used to and not, especially with this song, I can't get enough.
It's a good song. Mm-hmm. Cream, they're pretty much a straight rock, blues, rock, hard rock band. I mean, they're pretty heavy music for 1969 at the time, but they do have some lighter tunes as well, but they can certainly hit it, especially for a trio. They've sold over 15 million albums worldwide. And as far as their albums are concerned, Fresh Cream hit number 6 in the UK, number 39 in the US. Disraeli Gears hit number 5 in the UK, number 4 in the US. Wheels of Fire, which this song we're doing today is off of, hit number 3 in the UK and number 1 in the US. It's their only number 1 album in the US. And then Goodbye, their final album, hit number 1 in the UK, their only number 1 album in the UK, and number 2 in the US. They broke up in 1968, and this was mainly due to the tension between Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker, like I spoke about earlier. They just couldn't get along. It didn't work.
I blame Ginger.
Just because of his name?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. So they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. They did reunite in 2005 for four shows at the Royal Albert Hall in London and three shows in New York City at the Madison Square Garden. So, do you want to get to the song review?
Absolutely, I do.
And now it's time for the song review.
Of course, we're doing Cream, White Room today. The music from this song was written by Jack Bruce, and the lyrics by a man named Pete Brown. It was sang by Jack Bruce. This was recorded at Atlantic Studios in New York City and produced by Felix Pappalardi. We've talked about him a little bit before.
That's a mouthful of a last name.
Yeah. So it was released as a single in the U.S. on September 12th of 1968, but for some reason not released as a single in the U.K. until January 19th of 1969. Not sure why they had that 4 month difference there.
Probably because they didn't want to release it in the midst of the Christmas season.
Well, they could have released it in October or September when they released it in the U.S.
That's Halloween season, and then you got Thanksgiving.
That's true. We got a lot of holidays going on. Funny thing about this song is it actually was released after they broke up. B-side to this song was a song called Those Were the Days. Funny thing about this song is the album version is actually 5 minutes long. It's off the album Wheels of Fire. It's the same as the UK single. When they released the UK single, it was the full 5 minute long song, but the US single was cut down to just barely over 3 minutes. They basically just cut the third verse for the US single. So this single reached number 6 in the US, number 2 in Canada, and number 28 in their homeland of the UK. Not very high charting for them in the UK.
Surprising.
Yeah, but this is their second highest charting single in the US, right behind Sunshine of Your Love. Sunshine of Your Love, I think, hit number 5 in the US, and this one hit number 6. Mm. And so Sunshine of Their Love was actually their top charting single in the US at number 5. And in the UK, they didn't do as well. I Feel Free hit number 11. That was their top charting song in England.
Oh, wow. But the Canadians love them. I mean, number 2. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they did well in Canada.
They must have poured maple syrup on it or something.
So Jack Bruce has stated that Jimi Hendrix was an influence on this song, really behind the music written for this song. It was all based on, you know, what he had been hearing from Jimi Hendrix at the time.
No, I can totally hear Hendrix and the electric guitar.
You know, the electric guitar, though, is through Clapton, and I mean, you know, Clapton's emulating Hendrix at the time, too, but more in a bluesy way.
Okay.
They're two different guitarists, but it's interesting to draw comparisons. I guess you can through anyone, right?
Sure. I mean, it's an electric guitar, just drawing the same sound out of it, right?
I think this song is very metaphorical. There's a lot of metaphors in this song.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's possibly about depression and hopelessness with a setting in an empty room of some kind, an apartment. Mm-hmm. And that's what Pete Brown had stated, that the White Room was actually an apartment he was living in at the time. And it wasn't an institution that he had been in or something because he was crazy, like a lot of people think. But
I could see people thinking that after listening to this song.
Yeah, I mean, because you can draw your own conclusions from a lot of the things.
Yeah, the room was white, not padded, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So Rolling Stone, for what it's worth, like I say every time, has ranked the song as high as 375 on their top 500, which I think is pretty low.
That is pretty low, but it's very appropriate that this song is on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this song, you're right, should be higher. Top 100.
Okay, Tyler, so after listening to Cream, White Room, what are your thoughts on this song?
Okay, this song starts off with a very slow, steady, methodical, instrumental march. And I love it. It sets a really good tone for it. I'll tell you what I think about this song is acoustical roller coaster ride. That's what I wrote down on this. Cause
with no acoustical guitars.
No, that's what's so awesome about it is like they did it with an electric guitar because, hey, I mean, if we're going to the amusement park and I digress. So this song, it has hills, it has valleys, it changes things up on you constantly. It changes the beat, changes the rhythm. And the guy goes to falsetto for these bridges. It's really, it's constantly changing on you and it's fun. Yeah, very metaphorical song. There are so many things listed in here. Very descriptive song about where he's at. There's a white room in the station that has black curtains. I'm guessing this is a white room in a train station because he does talk about trains at some point.
I think that's all just thrown in as wordplay, but
okay, and that could be because
this is a perfect example of a song where you can read what Pete Brown has said that these were written about, but you can really draw your own conclusions from it.
For sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in here.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about like that you're at a party and then but you feel isolation. I'm like, shoot, that really captures this feeling of depression and hopelessness. Because I mean, have you ever been like felt alone in a crowded room where everybody around you just passes by ignoring you and you just feel completely invisible?
Basically where you don't belong too. Sometimes you're just in a room where you're the odd one out or you feel the odd one out.
Yeah, everybody gets the joke but you, and you start to wonder, maybe I'm the joke. Yeah, I mean, he really captures it with the lyrics, and it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and I like that about this. But even so, it keeps going back and climbing these hills and then going for some more dips and valleys and curves and turns and twists. And it's so much fun. I really enjoy this song. I've heard this song before. I did not at the beginning of this recording or the listening of it, I forgot, oh yeah, I do know this song. And thought, well, right, White Room. I don't know White Room. And then it started playing. And as soon as it started playing, there's a white room.
Yeah, in the station. I think it took you about 3 seconds to recognize the song because when I told you what song we were doing today, you're like, I'm not sure if I know that one, but as soon as I put it on, you knew what it was.
Exactly, and that's how it's been with a couple of the songs that we've done, and those are fun songs for me to do. What are your thoughts about this song?
Well, this song, as metaphorical as it is, it certainly evokes loneliness to me. You read into some of the lyrics, for example, tired starlings. A lot of people have said that's to do with pollution in London that was killing,
you starlings,
know, birds and probably wow. people. You've got goodbye windows, people waving goodbye from trains. You've got black roof country, he says in there. And that's apparently an area that Pete Brown is really familiar with, where all the roofs of these houses were covered with black soot. That's why they called it black roof country. Mm-hmm. And to me, all of those lyrics, as you can read into them however you want, but it evokes that loneliness to me and dreariness. But as far as the song is, it's a pretty heavy song for 1969. I really enjoy it, because if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I enjoy guitars, and that's the main character mm-hmm. here.
Oh, it sure is.
But you're right, there are a lot of parts to this song. I really like the falsetto in the bridges. Mm-hmm. Eric Clapton plays the wah-wah pedal on this to extreme. I'm not a huge Eric Clapton fan. In fact, I'm not a very big Eric Clapton fan at all.
It's probably because of his beard.
Well, it's because of his person. He's kind of a well-known, let's just leave it at that. He's well-known not to be a great person.
He's his own biggest fan.
But I do enjoy Eric Clapton and Cream. I enjoy Cream. All four of their albums I enjoy thoroughly. I love their live stuff. They're just a good band. It's got the rolling drums at the start, which I really love the rolling drums on the different changes on this. The guitar is great, especially when you get in the second verse and you start getting those little guitar licks that come in. They're just really good. The bass is excellent in this. And for a late 60s song, the drums are mixed really well up front and heavy sounding. This band is an excellent power trio of a band, and they take it to the extreme, and I love it. I love the lyrics into it. You know, I'll wait in this place where the sun never shines. I'll wait in this place where the shadows run from themselves. So anyways, after the second verse guitar licks, you get into the third verse and they get even heavier and more. And I really enjoy that. And that mm-hmm. really leads into that guitar solo that closes out the song. That's absolutely amazing. It should be one of the better guitar solos of the 1960s, without a doubt. And the drums are just heavy ass punching there in that end solo, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I like this song. It's probably my favorite Cream song. It still does get played quite heavily on classic rock radio, but I don't suffer hearing it too much yet. I always enjoy this song, especially when we can sit down here and listen to it on some decent speakers when you're not in the car and stuff. It's got good punch to it, and it's just a good all-around song. And what I really enjoy about it's the music, but I'm not as in deep into lyrics as you are, but what mm-hmm. I like about this one is you can read anything into it you want. Make it anything you want.
Yeah, when we talked about the starlings falling and the black roof city?
Black roof country.
Black roof country. That reminded me of a little piece of British history where the London fog was actually killing people.
Now, you're not talking about the club in L.A., the London
Fog. No, not the L.A. club, the London Fog. The actual fog, the weather phenomena that occurs in London, it used to be a very toxic, very thick, like so thick it would actually choke you. And there was a couple of deadly seasons in the wintertime where, because of the heaviness of the fog, it didn't allow the smoke of the coal-burning furnaces to escape the city. And so it settled in, and it actually did asphyxiate people. Hmm. And, I mean, so I have to think that was sometime around when this song was written, probably earlier than when this song was written. I'm not sure if it was the 50s or the 60s, but nowadays we kind of take it for granted with a lot of regulations that governments have put on. There's not nearly so much coal burning as there was back then, but I mean, this was kind of a real problem. You had soot everywhere. Not very long ago, even. So, like, that's just another image that I think he captured. And, you know, with the lyrics, it's very vivid imagery. Pete Brown writes in there. It's very well captured. I'm a big fan of this song.
I agree. Let's get to the song rating.
Yep.
Song rating.
If this is your first time listening, we have a rating scale of 0 to 10. And 0 being it's absolute garbage in our estimation. And 10 being it's absolute masterpiece, and you know, anybody who disagrees with us can eat it. So that being said, I'm gonna slap a solid 9 on this song. I don't know that I'm quite up there to give it a 10, but if there's a song out there by the band Cream that earns them that title of cream of the crop, it's this song in my estimation. Everything is perfect. These guys are masters of their craft. Everyone from the drummer, the bassist, Jack Bruce with the vocals and the bass really brought his A game to this. And the guitar, all of it. I love the whole thing. I'm excited to hear this song much more and listen to it and delve into the lyrics and see what I think that means. Where do you put this one, Justin?
I'm not quite as high as you, but maybe part of that's because I've heard it so many times. I love this song. I throw this song at an 8.5. Like I said before, it's my favorite Cream song, but I do enjoy Cream all the way around. It's just a good, heavy, powerful song. It shows what the band was capable of, showed the power they had. In some ways, it would have been nice if they could have made some more music together, but sometimes that's what makes things so special as well. So,
true.
But a damn good song nonetheless.
For sure.
But that's it for Cream and White Room. And if you agree, disagree, have suggestions, whatever, shoot us an email at classicvinylpodcast@gmail.com. And once again, we really do appreciate you listening to us. We know there's a lot of podcasts. And if you're listening to us two unknowledgeable fools talk, then thank you to you. But until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Classic Vinyl Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Classic Vinyl Podcast for updates and also share us with your music-loving friends.